reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The first scripture reading is found in the book of the prophet Jeremiah. It's on the page 840 in your pew Bibles. And we read Jeremiah 31, beginning at verse 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This is the sure and true word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Romans chapter 3. It's found on page 1205 in your Bibles. And we read Romans 3 beginning at verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, for all who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time, so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. This is the sure and true word of the Lord. We rise out of respect for the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. John, page 1145, and we read John 8, beginning at verse 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits a sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So, if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. This is the sure and true word of the Lord." Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your Old Testament lesson for today, this Reformation weekend. And I'd like to reread verse 34. "And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." This is our text. A number of years ago, when I first came here to Zion, I preached a sermon where I talked extensively about the word luck. We Christians do not believe in luck. We believe in blessings we receive from the hand of God. I made a big deal about it. The congregation was convinced. And it was a couple of weeks thereafter, we had a voters' meeting. And I remember one of our members, chairman of the Board of Stewardship at that time, giving a report about our recent pledging. And before the entire voters' assembly, he said something that went like this: "Yeah, we were really lucky this year with our pledges." You could have heard an audible gasp from the entire voters' assembly. He said that forbidden word. But you know, it's so easy for us to do because, you know, that's just sort of the way we talk. Just last Sunday, one of our members in Bible study, as we were talking about the language of God, shared another interesting story. He happens to be a teacher. And one student had been insulting another student, and he had gotten the two together to reconcile them and to put an end to the behavior. And he made one of the students say to the other, "I'm sorry." Now, for us here in church this morning, the natural response to someone saying to you, "I'm sorry," would be what? "I forgive you." He didn't know what to say. He thought about it for a minute and then finally said, "You're welcome." Great story, but a very sad one. God has a language that is different from that of the world. And in the days of Luther and also today, we seem to have forgotten that language. And we're not being taught it in the places where it needs most to be taught. It is the language of forgiveness, the language of grace. But we're much more a people today of vengeance, getting even. And also much more a people of entitlement. Thinking that what we deserve is something other than death and eternal hell. For my friends, if you ask God what you deserve out of this life, that's the answer. That's the mind of God. That's the language of God. And the only reason that we can have a hope outside of death and hell is not because we deserve more. It's because we know God through things like forgiveness and grace, not earned by us, but earned by our Savior, Jesus Christ, who went to the cross to reconcile us to God, and also so that we could be reconciled to each other. In the days of Luther, that language, that way of understanding God and knowing Him, was largely lost in the culture. Things were so bad during the time period of the Reformation that as Luther would go out and visit various parishes, one parish in particular he came upon had a rather famous priest. He was famous for his ability to exorcise demons from people. Was well known throughout the community. And yet, would you believe it? When Luther examined him, he didn't even know the Lord's Prayer. Like today, the world was in need of reform. But how do you accomplish that? Where do you teach the language that belongs to God? Well, where did you learn how to talk? I learned it at home. And I have grandkids now that are learning to talk as well. One of them knows up and high. And bye, and mom, we think, and dad, we think. And it could be that last week he even said grandpa. And he's learning to talk from us. And part of the genius of Luther, in his understanding of Scripture, was knowing that if the church was to be reformed, it didn't begin in the church. It began in the home. When he wrote his small catechism, One of the interesting things about its first publication was that it was not at first published as a book. Its first publication was as wall hangings, to be hung up around the home, and as it was published with pictures to help illustrate it as well. And you know what the first heading was in each of those wall hangings, and you can still see it in the catechism today. As the head of the household should teach his family. Each section had that heading. It included prayers for when you go to bed at night and prayers for when you wake up in the morning. Yeah, we use them in their liturgy, but that's not where they were intended to be taught. It included prayers for when you sit down and eat, and not at a pot luck, at a pot blessing. He was teaching families a new language, not the language of me, not the language of entitlement, not the language of I deserve better, not the language of you go your way, I'll go mine, the language of reconciliation, the language of forgiveness, the language of humble service to one another as Christ humbled himself and suffered death, even a death on the cross, that we might know him. We live, my friends, in a troubled world today, and that's because people are not learning God's language. I just came across an article this last week talking about this current generation of teens. Of all generations, none suffers more from depression than this particular generation. And I've cited this before, but I think it's something we ought to remind ourselves again and again as witness to how little hope people have. Grades 9 through 12. 1 in 6 has thought about killing themselves. 1 in 12 attempt it because they don't know forgiveness. They don't know the value of their lives. Somebody says, I'm sorry, and the best they can come up with is, you're welcome. How sad. And most of them are not going to discover that new language of God for the first time coming to a church. Before they can learn the language, they're going to have to meet somebody outside a church to draw them here. They're going to have to hear in their own lives, not just in maybe a home, but at work, at school, on the playground, or some other place. The new kind of language. A language unknown to sinful man. And when they hear the gracious words, and they hear of the hope that we have in our own hearts, God willing, they will come here to learn more. But they won't consider it unless they hear it from you first. That was the genius of the Reformation. Not to just teach it in the churches, but to put it into the lives of everyday people. To make it the conversation. And through that, the world long ago was literally turned upside down. May God grant that we can accomplish that again by making the language of God our language, not here, just here at church, but every place we go, and particularly in our homes. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright, 2001. By Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.